I wonder how you react to watching a video like that. Maybe you think it's nice for them, but I can't wait all my life for a relationship like that. I would like that one day, but for now, that's so unrealistic. Relationships, well, they don't really happen like that anymore. That's just for old people. I don't know if you spotted on the video that the way Bill said that he loved his wife was motivated by the unconditional love that God had for him. That's what helped him to love his wife, glad, like that. But you may be sitting here tonight thinking, why do I need to do relationships God's way? He doesn't understand how I'm feeling. He doesn't understand the pressure I'm under. He wouldn't mind if I do a bit of texting or flirting. I'm not going to have sex with this person. I just want to have a relationship which will make me happy. And if it doesn't, well, I can just go out and get another one. But I need to have a relationship because if I don't, people will think I'm weird. And why do I have to wait to have sex until I'm married? Surely having sex without marriage is much more fun. No commitment, just one night, no strings attached. Tonight I want us to see whether we call ourselves a Christian or not, that God knows how best we should do our relationships. That's because the way we do relationships matters to God. And because when we get relationships wrong, they don't just affect us, they affect the other person. They affect our friends, our family, the youth group, church, our future relationships. And ultimately, if we're Christians, they can affect our relationship with God. So with something that's so important and has so many consequences, isn't it worth listening to the God who created relationships in the first place? But it's hard. It's hard to listen to God because no one else around us seems to be listening to him. Our friends don't seem to listen, do they? Perhaps some of your friends are in sexual relationships right now. Maybe you are. And to be a Christian who's chosen to save sex for marriage or is obeying their parents' guidance not to go out with someone, while doing that, you're just going to stand out, aren't you? You're going to face teasing, isolation, or perhaps even worse, from your friends or school colleagues. And our teachers don't seem to listen to God either, do they? Sexual education in schools promotes safe sex, not save sex for marriage. And our society doesn't listen to God, do they? The media and culture around us make it much more accessible to us. We're exposed at a much younger age because sex around us is just normal. You can watch people having sex on your phone and no one else would ever know. Apart from God, of course. And we don't want to listen to our parents about it, do we? God's blessed us with families who love us, care for us and have authority over us. But we don't think they know what they're talking about when it comes to boundaries they might have put in place or people that we're allowed to go out with. And we think we know better anyway, don't we? Our friend is going out with someone and their parents let them. So why can't my parents just be like my friend's parents? So I guess the question is, what does God say in the Bible in a world that just doesn't want to listen to him? Well, I think he says two things. The first thing is that God loves us more than anyone else can. God loves us more than anyone else can. And secondly, we love God by loving others his way. We love God by loving others his way. So the first thing, God loves us more than anyone else can. See, our motivation to love God comes in the love that he's shown us in Jesus. There's a verse from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I'll read it to you. You can look at it later. It says this. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. So Jesus has created us, loved us, died for us, even when we rejected him. Even when we'd made no attempt ourselves to love him. There's no love that a human being can give you that comes close to that. Because we're loved by someone who we don't naturally love. And even though we don't love him, he still died for us, so we wouldn't face an eternity in hell. See, Jesus didn't die for us because we deserved to be forgiven. He died for us because we didn't deserve it. Can you see why that's so important? Because you can see the lengths that God has gone to give us eternal life. See, that's where the motivation to love God and love other people comes from. It comes from God's love for us. But if you don't believe in that, if you don't believe in what Jesus has done for us, well, we won't have any interest in loving God. Because if God's out of the picture, the person who's going to guide how I do relationships will be me. That's the one who will guide. But if we want to love God in response to how he's loved us, then we'll want to love others his way. This is where we get to 1 Thessalonians. So hopefully, it's going to come up on the screen. I'm going to read it for you. Just follow those words as I do. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honourable, not in passionate lusts like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. Is that all I've got for now? No, great. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. If you want to go back to the previous slide, Dave, that would be great. Paul is telling the Christians in the church in Thessalonica, I spent ages practicing that name, that he'd already told them how to live for God when he was amongst them. And now he urges them in the letter to do it more and more. That's verse 1. And the instructions he gives them comes with Jesus' authority. So it's not just stuff that Paul recommends, it's stuff that comes straight from Jesus. That's verse 2. So what is it, and how will it help us to love others God's way? Well, verse 3, God wants us to love him, and that will mean avoiding sexual immorality. Now, I guess as we sit there, as we read that verse, we think we're off the hook. Because surely that just means not having sex, doesn't it? But sexual immorality is much bigger than just not having sex. Scott Petty is a youth minister in Australia. He's written this book, which I haven't got with me. It's upstairs. It's called The Black Book on Sex. It's a book that I'd love you all to read. And this is how he describes sexual immorality. He says this. It's Australian, so he's pretty in your face. I think that's fair to say. Pretty direct. He says, if it looks like sex, sounds like sex, or it smells like sex, it is sex, and it all counts. Okay? So I may not be having sex with someone physically, but what about the stuff that I put on a text to them or on Facebook? I may not be having sex with someone physically, but what about the thoughts that I have when I'm imagining them naked and what I'd like to do with them? I may not be having sex with someone physically, but why am I talking to the person or hanging out with them in the first place? Are my motives pure? Could the things that I'm saying and doing be taken as flirting by that person or the people around me? See, verse 4, Paul wants us to learn to control our bodies in a way that pleases God, not in passionate lust like the heathen, verse 5, who don't know God. Now, part of that, of course, is honouring God's incredible gift of sex and saving it for marriage between one man and one woman. But it's also thinking about the stuff that we look at with our eyes. It's deciding how far we go in a relationship with someone. It's thinking about why I'm in a relationship with someone in the first place. Am I just there because I want to have some affection? It's not going to go anywhere, but I just like having someone around who I can kiss, cuddle, hold hands, or perhaps more. Well, that's characteristic, Paul says, of the way that non-Christians do relationships. Impassionate lust, like people who don't know God. You see, it shouldn't be a surprise to us, what I'm saying this evening, that the way God calls us to have relationships will be radically different and weird to those who don't believe in God. And it's because of what Jonathan has said already, that relationships are not about us, they're not even about the other person, if we're Christians, they're about God. So that's why in verse 6, no one should take advantage of their brother or sister. Why? Because if we're Christians, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's like your own family. So I wonder if you've ever realised what a witness our youth group is. We have the opportunity here every Friday and Sunday and whatever other day we meet to have friendships between guys and girls that don't need to have a romantic element to them. I guess at school, if you talk to someone of the opposite sex, the word quickly gets around that you fancy them. But that's nuts. Here is a place where we can have friendships, girls with guys, guys with girls, which doesn't have to involve us all going out with each other. But you may say, well, what's all this rubbish about having to go out with a Christian anyway? Surely I can choose who I like. It's hard enough for me to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That was my experience anyway. Let alone it be a Christian one. But I guess my question would be, why are we going out with someone in the first place? If our relationships are firstly about God, is the person you want to be with, or the person you're with, going to help you in your relationship with God? If it's not, dating someone who doesn't have the same belief in you, not only is it going to make saving sex for marriage more difficult, but it's going to make it harder for you to grow in your faith. I know this for myself because the girls that I went out with before I married Jen didn't help me grow in my faith. They took me backwards. Now, you may have heard this all before and you just don't want to listen. Perhaps you switched off about 10 minutes ago. But if that's us, the Bible says that we're in a very dangerous place. Next slide, Dave. Because of these verses. The Lord will punish all those who commit these sins, as we told you and warned you before. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So if we reject this evening, we're not rejecting Paul. We're not rejecting me. We're rejecting God. And will face punishment. These commands from God are serious. I hope you can see that. I hope you can hear it in my voice. They're said from love. Of course they are. But they're warnings too. Because it's a serious business to disobey God and reject his ways. And it's a serious thing to disobey our parents. Because, like it or not, that's an authority that God has given us. And they have a role in guiding us and advising us in the relationships we make. And sometimes, I know it's hard to hear, sometimes our parents just know better. They know better than us. It's challenging, I know, I can hear it. But let me finish by assuring you of the truth that I began with. God loves us more than anyone else can. Let me say it again so you don't miss it. God loves us more than anyone else can. What does that mean? It means that however many times we muck up in this area, God is a God of grace and forgiveness, who we can turn to when, not if, when we muck up. So let's not kid ourselves by always thinking we're going to get this right. Undoubtedly, every single one of us in this room has or will get it wrong. But be assured, we have a loving Heavenly Father who does forgive us because of Jesus, and for whom nothing will separate us from his love. It's him who transforms us to be the people he wants us to be. And so on the 14th of February, 2014, Valentine's Day, that's the greatest Valentine's message we'll receive. What I'd love us to do, we've got some questions to look at. We're going to do this kind of guys and girls. So guys, if we want to get ourselves into room one, girls, you can stay exactly where you are. We've got about 1/4 hour, 20 minutes. If questions come up as a result of what we're looking at, write them down on those orange bits of paper, and we'll have a chance perhaps to answer them now or at the end.
You just want to keep all of this.